Welcome to the Vine Life Podcast. We're a church in Manchester who love Jesus, each other, and our city. Catch up on this week's message and more.
Fabulous. Good morning. I do feel like even if we just went home now, we're all winners. So this is kind of like a freebie, like an added extra. So anything that you get from this is just like bonus points because, wow, what a fantastic time of worship and blessing. And it's just good, isn't it, really? Just sort these notes out. So yeah, love this church. Love being part of us. And it's just brill. I'm Rob, and you may not know this, but I'm actually a published author. It's not true. So that was just a joke because I've actually gone through the trouble of printing. So I need a Britney Spears mic. Where's the Britney Spears mic? Of printing off these little things. They're little handouts, yeah. Send them around, Suze. So as I'm talking, it is just listen to Holy Spirit. Don't get distracted or bored, which you might do. If you get bored of me, listen to what God's saying. Ideally, both hopefully will intertwine. Because I want to go after something this morning of kingdom increase and stewarding what God's given us. And he's given us so much as individuals and as a church body and as a wider kingdom of God. And I just want to encourage us to steward the increase, as I've written on the front, because I thought every good book should have a title. In fact, every book should have a title, I think. Maybe there's a niche there somewhere, booksandnotitle.com. Anyway, so I'm going to be talking about following on our parables series, or the Kingdom of Heaven is like, is that what it's called? Should be Kingdom of Heaven ... series. And I'm talking about the parable of the talents, or the parable of the bags of gold. I kind of prefer talents because it's a bit more like, ooh, what's that? So shall I start by reading the passage? If you like the nice little fold-up thing, you open it up like a little book, and then it's got the passage there, but you can read it on the screen, whatever you like. I just thought, we never have paper these days, so let's get a paper. There's, yeah, anyway, let's read. This is Matthew 25, and it goes from verse 14 to 30, and you can read it along. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold. To another, 2 bags. And to another one, 1 bag, each according to his ability. Let me just pause for 1 second. Apparently, these bags of gold, or talents, I think talents is like a weight, so like a whole, basically it's like a load of gold. Apparently, 1 talent of gold is worth about 20 years' wages. That's a lot. That's like £1 million. So you could just say, to one he gave £1 million, to another he gave £2 million, another one he gave £5 million. It's a lot of money. Anyway, then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also, the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who'd received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I gained 5 more. I'm adding emphasis. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And then the man who'd received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you'd not sown and gathering where you'd not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I've not sown and gather where I'd not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So, take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me pray. Jesus, we just love your presence. I love that you are good. I love that your yoke is easy. I love that you've got good things for us, that you have a kingdom of increase and you want to increase in us and through us and with us. So I just pray this morning, we just want to listen to what you're saying. So unblock our ears, keep us in tune. Amen. So this is not a heavy yoke preach. And it is also not the final word on the parable of the talents or gold or whatever. It's some thoughts that I want us to engage with and I want us to enjoy. And then I've got some things for us to go after individually and together. Happy? Yeah. Fabulous. So this parable, it comes right at the end of Matthew, okay? So this is Jesus. He outlines a couple of parables. It's kind of a bit of an end times kind of vibe that Jesus has at the end of Matthew. So there's the parable of the 10 virgins who go out and who don't, or some of them don't have enough oil when their master comes back and they're kind of not prepared. Then you have the parable of this bags of gold, and then you have the parable of the sheep and the goats, okay? So it kind of feels like God's saying there are two types of people. There are people who kind of embrace the kingdom of God with faith and who steward things really, really well, who like get enough oil or make money from talents. They're kind of like your sheep. And then there's the goats. Okay, so just to like bring a little bit of context, that's where this story kind of sits. Okay, so what it isn't saying is kind of if you work really, really hard, then you can get yourself into the kingdom of God. Okay, that's our caveat right from the get-go, okay? This, we're saved by faith, we're not saved by works. But I think what this is saying is there is some things that are going to follow people of faith around, okay? And being obedient, good stewards is one of those things. So believers in the room, we're going to see this. We're going to see one of the things that follows believers around is increase in kingdom increase. OK, so it's not a works thing. We're set free and it's freedom to walk in increase. So that's kind of like where I want us to keep our lens with this. And we've been going through this series of the parables and I thought it'd be good just to re-ask that question of why did Jesus talk in parables? And there's a verse, I can't remember, I think it probably come up on there. If it doesn't, just listen. In Matthew, where the disciples literally say, why do you speak in parables? So it's probably good to get Jesus's answer, seeing as he was asked that question. So the disciples came, this is Matthew 13. Oh, good. 11 to 13. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak in parables? Why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they will not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. It's kind of crazy, that, really. So it seems like Jesus speaks in parables for two reasons. One, to reveal a message, and one to conceal a message, which is kind of like, what? But, you know, I think that is about people who will engage with faith. If you will engage with faith, then this is a message for you. If you won't, then this message will be hidden, basically. It's kind of like those who have ears to hear. And actually, sometimes I think it's kind of a blessing that he conceals it from people who aren't ready to receive, because it says, to whom much is given, much will be expected. So it's kind of like he's saying, I'm going to not put an extra burden on people who aren't ready to have this message, because actually then more will be required of them. You can explore that at some point if you fancy. And there's an element of also Jesus kind of like not wanting to put pearls before swine. If you're not approaching him with an open heart, then this message, you know, isn't for you. So God's looking for people who will hear with their hearts and partner with him in faith. That's the kind of person I want to be. So I'm going to go for it. So this parable is for us. That's what I'm saying. So stewarding, good stewarding. How did God create us in the first place? He created us in his image, right? What's one of the things that God did right at the start? He worked, didn't he? He worked. He put the planets into motion. He created the world. He spoke and things came into existence. And we are created in God's image. So we're created to do stuff. We're also created to rest, just as a little extra point, because what did God also do? He chilled out on a Sunday. Or no, was it Sunday? Monday, I don't know. How does the Jewish... Anyway, seventh day, whatever the seventh day is, if you're in the Hebrew mindset, that's when he chilled out. I like to relax on a Sunday. We're right from the get-go. We're created to do stuff, and it's our blessing to do stuff. This isn't like I gotta do stuff. It says, like in Genesis, like 1, right at the start, God blessed them, and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. We're blessed to rule and to reign over creation. And it's not about ruling and reigning in a kind of like lording over people and lording over things and being like, check me out, I'm a Christian, I can bust you all. Not what it's about. It's about subduing it and bringing and kind of taking the natural resources, whether that's kind of the world around us, like if you're a builder, taking stuff and building stuff, or people, also natural resources, and stewarding people and kind of bringing the best out of those or out of what we've been given. It's about kind of stewarding God's creation and subduing it, bringing it to order, making stuff better at the end than it was at the start. Another thing that I'm kind of up for. It's interesting, isn't it, in Genesis as well, just to, this is the last bit and I'll like right at the beginning of the Bible sort of thing, that when Adam and Eve fall away, then God curses the ground. It's interesting, that's exactly what the servant did, wasn't it? He buried his talent in the ground. So just intrigues me to think of that. So what I wanted to have a conversation about this morning was what it is to be a bad steward, that's the bad part, and what it is to be a good steward. What are the things that hold us back and maybe prevent us from walking in the increase of God? And on the flip side, what are the things that a good steward would do? What is God calling us after so that we can walk in the increase of his kingdom? So the kingdom of God is a kingdom of increase, isn't it? If you look at the Bible, there's no decrease in the kingdom of God. It says that of the advance of his kingdom, there will be no end. And if you look at all the parables that some of which we've looked at, some of which we haven't looked at, or the miracles of the 5 loaves and 2 fish, that's quite a big increase in food. Or if you look at he uses the analogy of wheat and kernels of wheat. I don't know anything about horticulture, but I do know that if you plant one seed and an ear of wheat comes up, you get a whole load more. That sounds like increase to me. Or a mustard seed, tiny little thing, big tree comes from it. Or Karim saying about the leaven, tiny amount of yeast makes a huge, huge difference. So his kingdom is increase. He's calling us to increase. He's calling us to steward what he's doing in the world, which is increase, whether that's increase in what we carry as individuals, as Vine Life Church or Manchester or the kingdom of God. God is increasing. The only time I can really think of where there's been decrease is when sin comes in, like, and the Israelites kind of end up going into exile. But actually, that was more about a consolidation, and then it increased. So we are called to increase. So I want to have a look at what are the things that prevent that in our lives, and what are the things that release that in our lives. And when we've done that, then you can open up the second portion of your book, little handout, pamphlet, whatever you want to call it. So the bad steward in this parable, I'm going to extract a few things from his attitude. And I want to suggest to you that he wasn't ruling and reigning. I think burying something in the ground doesn't, in my view, constitute reigning in life or ruling over stuff. That was a bad move, right? He's giving back that talent, that £1 million. And it was actually worth, I mean, I'm no economist, but I do know that things get more expensive. Therefore, if you bury £1 million in the ground, it will be worth less in 10 years' time. So he actually made a loss for his master. If he had just stuck it in a bank, it would have done way better. It was a bad move. And I think if we're not experiencing ruling and reigning in life, it's probably that we're living in fear or that we're believing a lie or something. Now, it's intriguing to me that this servant accused the master of being, what does he say, hard, reaping where he didn't sow, and basically stealing stuff and being a bit of a brute. Intrigues me because at no point does the master kind of refute that, but he also doesn't accept that as being true. And the fact that the two other servants didn't have a problem with him at all makes me suggest that actually that master wasn't hard and reaping where he shouldn't have sown. No, where he didn't sow. But actually, that was a misconception of this master. But at the very least, this servant had made a judgment about the master, and that affected how he then moved on. And, you know, it's really important, like, what we give our yes to, the things that we make an agreement to, affect the outworkings of what we do. We can either say yes to the word of God in our lives, or we can say yes to the lies of the enemy in our lives. And actually, if you say what you say yes to, you empower. And I want to be someone who says yes to the word of God so that I empower the word of God in my life rather than saying yes to the enemy and what he would say and his accusations, whether it's accusations against me or accusations against somebody else or accusations against God, for that matter. I want to be a yes man for the Lord rather than for the enemy. But it really is a big deal what we give our yes to. And so I want to call us to keep short account of our minds and our words as well. Like, sometimes a yes is in our heart. Sometimes a yes is from our mouth or in our head. But I want to be saying yes to the word of God. But it's sobering because I'm like, in order to say yes to the word of God, I got to know the word of God. Else I don't know what I'm saying yes to. I can recognize the lies of the enemy reasonably well, but they become louder the more I know the word of God. And if I know the word of God, I can replace the lies of the enemy with the truth of who God says I am, of who God says, like that song, who he says he is, because that's always true, right? So that's what I would encourage us to do. And, you know, this has been true for me this week. We had Mr. Christopher Light over for dinner, which is always fun, always a good time. And we had a raucous time. And then we were talking a bit about my business towards the end of our time together. And Chris really challenged me on some stuff that I'd said, like some words that I'd said, but were thinking, actually, is that what God would say, or is that what the world would say? So we've been having some difficulties, some kind of like sticking points with my business recently, where it just feels like things aren't being released. And I was like, this doesn't sit right with me, with what God has spoken over me and what God's spoken over my business. I was like, this just feels clunky. Just doesn't feel like the fullness of what God's doing. I'm not sure whether this would constitute ruling and reigning. We're experiencing pushback and difficulty. And I just said, you know, it's just the nature of running a small business. And Chris did his usual Chris thing of going, And I'm like, nuts, that's the wrong answer. And actually pulled me up on it. And I was thinking, actually, you know what, that's a lie. It might feel like worldly wisdom. And you speak to any sort of entrepreneur or a startup, and they'll probably say, this nature of leading a small business. No, I'm not having it. I'm not having it over my business. Thank you very much. Might have been your experience. It's not going to be mine. I'm going to go after the increase that God has spoken over my business and over me. And so my challenge is to stop embracing things that might be colloquially, acceptable in most people, and go after what God says instead. And that might be at odds with kind of the common wisdom, but that's what I'm going after. So I've got five things that I think we can see with this. I called him a bad servant, lazy servant. Jesus called him an evil servant in that parable, which I always find scary. But I think I've got they're really listed in the thing, five things. And just challenges, really, just short little challenges. Are we being lazy with the stuff that we've been stewarded? So I'm talking about everything here. You know, we maybe don't get too het up on the kind of money side of things. This is not a prosperity gospel thing of like, you trust God and then you're going to be a gazillionaire. That's not really, I do think it does involve money. You know, I don't think this is kind of like, oh, we're not allowed to talk about money because we're in the church. It's not that thing, but it is about everything that God's given us. So, you know, we tithe, we talk about the 10%. No, that everything is God's. We are stewarding everything that he's given us, not just like a little 10% that we cream off and tithe everything. But what like maybe causes laziness in our approach? Like, could it be that it's a faith issue or a lack of understanding? But I know that, I don't know, like maybe it's misunderstanding who God is and what he does and that he is who he says he is. Because I know that this week I've been massively unproductive. I've just been, basically I have actually been really lazy. I don't like to admit it. And I come up with all sorts of excuses, but I've been a bit lazy this week at work. And if God was sat right next to me saying, what are you doing, Rob, with our business together? I wouldn't be lazy. I'm going to level with you. If you're sat next to me, I wouldn't be being lazy. I would probably do stuff. So I think that is kind of, it just shows me, like, highlights that there's stuff in my heart where actually there's, am I understanding God? Am I recognizing his presence everywhere and that everything he's given me is for stewarding? Next one, are we believing a lie? We talked about that already, but like there's so many things where like maybe we're embracing other words or like worldly wisdom or things like that. Like when Susie and I got married, I remember someone saying, well, first year of marriage is always really, really tough. And we were like, not having that. Not having like first year of marriage, always really tough. No, I'm going to go after first year of marriage is the best one. Come on. And then since then, subsequent ones have been the best ones, of course. What? Yeah, but it gets better and better. I'm saying it's like, it's a kingdom of increase. Come on. Let's go after that. Preaching to the Oldfield family. next one, are we acting out of fear? I mean, that's literally what it says in that parable, isn't it? That the servant was scared, he's fearful. I don't know exactly what he was scared of, but in Psalm 37, verse 8, it says, refrain from anger and turn from your wrath. Do not fear, it only leads to evil. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Sobering, because I think sometimes if we think it's okay to be fearful, and it might be okay to experience pressure, but it says that fear will only lead to evil. So we just got to not embrace it. When you feel fear, you got to reject it and walk in God's ways and kind of access faith. And we know that God knows that this is a big deal, because do not fear is kind of like the most common command in the Bible. So it's obviously a challenge. Like God's having to say, I kind of had to tell you again, don't fear. Another big one, procrastinating or waiting. Like, are we in that point of going, oh yeah, I'll do that when the kids get a bit older and I've got a bit more capacity, then I'll serve in church, or I'll reach out to the person in the supermarket when I've got a bit more money, then I'll be able to pay for their groceries, or or when I've got a bigger house, then I'll be able to have people over for dinner, or when my house is tidy. that was one for us that challenged me and Suze a few years ago, because we're like, we want to have people over, but our house got a tiny dining room and the kitchen's really annoying. And we felt like God saying, no, if you do it now, steward it, steward what you have now, what's in your hand for the now. And anything that's in our hand now is God's invitation to double it, right? That's what happened with these good servants. They doubled what was in their hand. So anything that God's given you in your hand, anything in your life, that's an invitation for God to double, which I think is mega exciting. So what have you got in your hand? God might double it. We'll double it. Let's go for that. But don't wait and procrastinate for it to be bigger than it is at the moment. It doesn't need to be bigger. God's not overburdening us. He's given us things for the now that he's inviting us to partner and double if you want to be a good steward. Have I done them all? Offence. Yes. Thank you, Alan. Brilliant. What about offence? It seems to me like that servant was operating out of offence. Now, this would be a talk for another day, so can't go into it like a load of detail, but it's just worth probing our hearts. Like, are the things that we're offended, like leadership didn't do things how I thought they would, or, you know, just things didn't turn out, or God didn't do stuff the way I thought he would. Like, I prayed about something, didn't happen the way I thought. Thought God was going to do it this way, and you're like, offended, because that spirit will block you for definite. It will block you in so many different areas, and we need to surrender our right to be offended. And I think that's like a declaration that you can say when you feel that kind of, I'm sort of likely offended. I thought I'd forgiven them, but there's something still there. I think even just saying, I surrender my right to be offended by Desmond in the supermarket or by that driver who pulled out in front of me, you know? Those things stop you from accessing the increase of the kingdom of God. So let's shake it off. So we're running out of time fast. In fact, probably already run out of time. So I won't talk a whole lot about being good stewards, because a lot of that was tied up in what not to do. But let's be responsible. Stewardship, I'm going to rattle through it, is fundamentally not about owning stuff. It's about looking after stuff. We're looking after the things that God's put for us to steward. That's what he's calling us to do. It all belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So he's interested in us as vessels, and he's calling us to obedience. And the crazy thing is, as we show obedience, that's when the increase comes. That's his grace on our lives. And there's this concept of compounding interest. You know, you take something, you get a bit of interest, then you reinvest the stuff that you had with the interest, and then that builds more, doesn't it? It grows quicker, and you get this kind of like hockey stick type curve. And that is interesting to me in this parable, that did you notice that when the master said, give the one bag of gold to the one who's got 10, that the guy's still got 10, that the master never actually asked for that all back. He just was like, he's got 10, give him another one. He's got 11, right? Go and invest that and go and get 11 more. Then he comes back with 22, and then he'll go back and get 44. And then my master's probably going to break down, so I'll stop. But the point is, he's been given access to more. Like, as he proved faithful, as he was obedient, he got more. And the gifts were given according to their ability. So anything God's given you, he trusts you with. He knows that you've got it, that you're okay, that you can then double that. And in showing obedience and in stewarding, he'll double it again. And it's not about favoritism. It's not about kind of elitism. You know, I discovered this week that when it was the culture to give a double portion, you know, to the eldest son, that was primarily not about going, oh, are you better than them because you've got twice as much inheritance? It was about responsibility. It was about them saying, your responsibility isn't just to kind of like sit pretty and go to the Bahamas. You've got to look after the family. So you're the one we consider responsible, and you'll have to, you know, use that inheritance to protect the family, to provide for the widow, yeah, and that sort of thing. So it's about responsibility, and we show that through our faithful, obedient stewardship. And a lovely, love the word straight away or immediately. That's what the good servant did. They didn't just wait and go, oh, it might be able to do this in a couple of years. No, he just went and did it faithfully, listened to what the master said and went after it. Okay, so quick. We've only got like 30 seconds. So kind of run out of time. But what I did on that sheet of paper, and I've got like 8 pens, so I don't have enough pens for anybody. But I think I might have more. There's pens down there, Penny. Oh, you sent them around. Brilliant. If anyone needs a pen. All I've done, and this can be quick, and you can take it home, or you do it later if you really want to. But I've sort of listed some areas that I think could be things that we could steward. It's not an exhaustive list, but hopefully it'll whet your appetite. Things that I think God's calling us to steward, whether it's health, whether it's finance, whether it's friends, family, our job. And you can read, hopefully, so you can see on that sheet of paper. And what I'm just think maybe about two of those things, so it's not too overwhelming. And maybe just jot down, just seek the Lord and think, what one thing could I do to increase the kingdom of God in this area? And then maybe on the other side, what's one thing that actually is something I maybe need to address? I've been believing a lie that God doesn't provide. And then you can replace that with the word that God is our provider. So it might be that this is like too big a task to do sort of now in the next 30 seconds. But if stuff's like jumping out, engage with it. Because for me, sometimes it's a lack of engagement that stops me from stewarding what God's doing. So let's just take 30 seconds. It was going to be 10 minutes. Let's take 10 seconds and just chew over that with God. And then we'll come back in a second. Well, don't worry. If you're one of those people who has to get everything done in time, don't worry. There's no judgment. If you haven't finished, it's fine. Take it back and hand it in for homework next week. No, don't really. Just, I've got two small things that I wanted to quickly add. First up, if you're worried, just take a step, and that's all you've got to do. It's tiny little things, incremental changes, and just remember that sort of compounding interest. So there's this book about Atomic Habits, if anyone's ever read that, and everything that you do is like a little vote for who you want to be, and I think that sort of embodies a lot of this, that maybe it's just one tiny little thing that could make a big difference. So think about that. And then the last thing I wanted to say was just to us as a body, Vine Life, God's taken us into increase. God's calling us to steward increase. And I think Ralph brought that word last week. I was in Game Changers, but moving from sort of safeguarding scarcity to stewarding abundance or something to that effect. But the fact is, God's moving us on. And we've been in a rough period, but we're not anymore. And God's taken us to new places. So can we embrace it? Can we get excited about what God's doing in our body, in Manchester, and out there into the world, that we're not hiding in the shadows anymore? We're getting out there and we're doing stuff, all right? And that we're seeing the increase of his kingdom. It's Jesus' kingdom, and I want his name to be proclaimed in this body and out there in the world. And I want Vine Life to make a difference. And I know the people in this room, and they're people that I love dearly. And I know that we're carrying something awesome that people need to hear. Okay? So can we just be inspired to get out there and do things and be God's people on this earth and steward his kingdom? Because I love his kingdom. It's going to be good. That is my final word.
Amen. Hope you enjoyed today's message. If you want to find out more, head to our website, vinelife.co.uk, or follow us on Instagram. God bless and see you soon.